Hello, my name is Vernon Whaley, Director of the Center for Worship at Liberty University. Welcome to WRSP 520, The Role of the Worship Leader. This is Lesson 14, Part 2, The Role of the Worship Leader as Mentor. As we review and study these various tasks, responsibilities, and assignments, we quickly discover that there is much too much to be done as a worship leader. This often involves more than leading songs and encouraging worshipers to engage in heartfelt love for the Lord. These roles include, but are not limited to, worshiper, disciple, theologian, professional, artist, musician, servant, leader, pastor, administrator, staff member, student, mentor, counselor, and family person. In the process of accepting these various tasks and responsibilities, the worship leader discovers that ministry is to the Lord and with the entire church. Our most immediate task, then, becomes preparing ourselves for a broader congregational ministry. The task of the worship leader involves being a mentor. As the worship leader accepts the responsibility of becoming a teacher and educator, the worship leader will quickly discover that the opportunity to mentor students and fellow worship leaders comes into clear focus. Reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. The Lord knows those who are his. Look at verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Here is the biblical principle of mentoring. Entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. What is a mentor then? Well, a mentor is an experienced advisor, supporter, counselor, life coach, or trainer. A senior or experienced person in an organization who gives guidance and training to a junior colleague is also called a mentor. A mentor is somebody, usually older and more experienced, who advises and guides a younger, less experienced person. This is a person that comes alongside of another and becomes a coach and a partner in life. So a mentor is an advisor, counselor, guide, tutor, teacher, guru, and spiritual leader. So what makes a mentor a mentor? It's often been said that mentors are the ones that influence the next generation of leaders. And they all have common characteristics. First, they have the ability to see potential in a person. Then they have tolerance of mistakes, brashness, and abrasiveness in order to see potential develop. They are known as being flexible because they can respond to people and circumstances. And they are often people of great patience, knowing that time and experience are needed for development. They're also known as people that have perspective to coach by knowing vision and ability to see down the road and provide needed advice. And mentors have the ability to build up and encourage others. But did you know that mentoring begins with a relationship? My friend Terry Williams, Director of Worship for the Florida Baptist Convention, says a conversation can make a difference in the life of a person for eternity. That is what a mentor does. He uses conversation and everyday activity to impact a person's life. Mentoring involves conversation, trust, acceptance, and taking the positive opportunity to build relationship. So how does the worship leader establish a mentoring relationship? Well, there are six guiding principles that a person can use. First, meet the person where he or she is. Accept them at face value. Accept the fact that they truly want to be mentored. Mentoring involves becoming a coach, not a boss or someone to fix another person's problems. It really involves becoming one with another in mind and heart. Second, it involves enlisting a person's commitment to grow. This may be in the form of an official question or through a series of shared opportunities for commitment. Either way, the person being mentored and the person mentoring need to commit themselves to growing through the relationship. The third area for mentoring involves vision. The person mentoring needs to see the potential in a person and capture a vision of where that person can be in the future. The mentor then proceeds to encourage the person being mentored to capture a vision of where they too can see themselves at the end of the mentoring process. The fourth principle for mentoring involves time. The mentor and the person being mentored need to commit themselves to spending time together. The mentor needs to see experiences and everyday events as opportunities to teach. The person being mentored needs to be teachable. The sixth and final principle involved in the mentoring process is that the mentor must be responsible to the person and not for the person. At the end of the day, the mentor needs to be true to his or herself, no matter how much time, energy, and effort one puts into nurturing another. Only that person can be responsible for his or herself. The mentor cannot assume anything. What then is the role of the mentoring worship leader? Well, first, the mentor is to give timely advice. Second, provide perspective. Sometimes this comes in the form of letters, articles, books, or other literary information that offers perspective. Sometimes the mentor offers perspective on finances, family, ministry, or other challenges that sometimes come when building relationship with other people. Third, the mentor needs to provide freedom to the mentoree so that they can emerge as a leader even beyond the level of the mentor. Sometimes mentors will be asked to risk their own reputation in order to sponsor a mentoree. Mentors need to model various aspects of leadership functions so as to challenge mentorees to move towards them. Then mentors need to direct mentorees to resources that will further develop their potential. And finally, the mentor needs to become a co-minister in order to help increase the mentoree's confidence and credibility. A concept of mentoring called mentoring constellations is discussed in the book Connecting by Paul Stanley and Robert Kling. The idea behind the constellation approach is that a leader needs to be mentored by different kinds of relationships in order to succeed in his or her leadership abilities. According to these authors, mentoring includes upward relations. These include mentors or leaders who have gone on before us, to whom we look up to. They hold us accountable and they stretch us. We are the leaders who will eventually succeed them. Next are the downward relationships. These mentors are the people who will one day replace us in our leadership role. They are the rifle vision, a small group of people who are always thinking about developing into leaders. Some of them are in our own organizations. Others are outsiders. The third member of the constellation is called external relationships. These are peer co-mentoring relationships of individuals who are roughly at our age of maturity and career development. These are people that are outside the organization. Here is where the power of networking comes into play in the mentoring process. Finally comes the internal relationships. These are peers within the organization who challenge us to do better and who hold us accountable in our personal lives and leadership responsibilities. So how then is the task or job of mentoring accomplished? First, by listening. Second, by asking powerful questions. And third, by helping the other person set worthy goals. Let's first consider listening. Listening, quoting James 1:19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. This is not the first time in our study that we've been reminded to stop the talking and take time to listen. Mentoring requires careful, thoughtful listening. The second way to accomplish the task of mentoring is by asking powerful questions. The writer of Proverbs says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Remember, we talked about being a coach to the person being mentored? Well, Jeff Meyer of Bryan College and Passing the Baton International Incorporation suggests that an acrostic of the word coach, C-O-A-C-H, can help formulate the structure for remembering the right questions. So how do we ask the right questions as a coach? C, check-in questions. O, observation questions. A, action questions. C, consult questions. And H, help questions. When the mentor is seeking to coach or guide, the first question to ask are the check-in questions. These are questions like, what's going on? How are things? What's the latest news? The second set of questions to ask when mentoring are the observation questions. These are questions like, what do you think about that? And what do you value in this situation? And what does God say about this? What would you want to do if you were in charge? The third set of questions to ask when mentoring involves actions. These are action questions that encourage the person being mentored to act on something. These are questions like, what would you want to do? And what would the effect of those actions be? And what would stop you from succeeding? The fourth set of questions to ask are called consult questions. They include questions such as how, when, where, who, and what barriers do you have to face when seeking to accomplish this task? The fifth set of questions to ask when mentoring involves helping questions. These include questions such as, how can I support you? What resources do you need? And how is my feedback helping you? Listening and asking powerful questions are important to the task of mentoring. The third and final way to accomplish the task of mentoring is by helping the other person set worthy goals. The prophet Isaiah says, but the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. So remember, mentoring begins with a relationship. It is when you and I take the responsibility to touch the lives of other people and make a difference. Terry Williams, Director of Worship for the Florida Baptists, is right when he says a conversation can make a difference in the life of a person for eternity. That is what a mentor does. He uses conversation and everyday activity to impact a person's life. Mentoring involves conversation, trust, acceptance, and taking the positive opportunity to build relationship.